the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Talk on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara. Vince pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. Did so yesterday. Will do so today and also tomorrow. But joins us from the palatial Ferrara estate down in Tampa. Vince, how are you?
I am good, John. The temperatures are ridiculous and the humidity is just as much that as well. But you know, at least the sun's out and around family and stuff, so we're staying in for the most part, but all is good. How are you guys doing back there in Knoxville?
Hanging in there. We've had to deal with a couple of stormy conditions, and hopefully that's all in the rearview mirror for this week. You never know, though, when it is this time of year. So the sun's out. Does that mean guns are out? Does that travel with you from Knoxville to Tampa?
Well, in theory, yes. So indoors, you try to be a little bit more respectful for the family, you know, for the familia. So we don't go all out. But yeah, in the right situation, sure.
That's right, because Vince also lives by the motto, like for some, and this isn't his motto, but for some it's like, hey, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. For Vince, it's, hey, the sun's out somewhere.
So exactly that's it. Right.
But we are loaded up today. In fact, can't wait to catch up with Barry Rice, who is just part of the incredible operation that is VFL Films. He'll join us a little bit later this hour to talk about the Johnny Majors documentary that will air on ESPNU Friday at 8. And will also air locally on Channel 8, I believe, Sunday at noon. And then we also, Vince, will have the chance to talk a lot of college football recruiting as Craig Halbert will join us to start hour number two of the program.
Yeah, Craig is outstanding, works with Tom Luganville, who shares his time between recruiting and as a college football analyst, the sidelines this time. So Craig Halbert is just over time had an increasing national role as their recruiting coordinator. So he can talk about and will Tennessee's current 2021 class, the guys that are still Tennessee's targets, and then the 2020 guys, who are some of the ones, the players from last year's class that he thinks can be early impact players for Tennessee, and then obviously how he views Tennessee's class from a national standpoint, those typical recruiting battles, and then also so a lot of national topics out there with recruiting. Are there going to be a bunch of decommits? And so just a lot to get into with Craig, and he's always outstanding to join us.
So that'll be, again, to start hour number two of the program. And also later in hour number two, we weren't able to connect last week, but we hope to hook up with Alaric Solari, who is now VFL, former Vol, and member of the Minnesota Twins organization.
Yeah, it's cool. I like that that fit for Alaric. And, you know, who knows what his immediate future is. We'll ask him about that, but just a strange time for a lot of these draft picks, especially guys that aren't the first round guys to where they're getting the massive amounts of money. Alaric's still getting a nice contract that he signed with his deal, but the short term is a little bit more of an unknown for a lot of those guys. So we'll see what things are like for him early on.
Really cool to see how they handled it. The Twins flew him from Houston up to Minneapolis, so he got to sign his deal at Twins headquarters. They also went ahead, did the photo shoot of him in his new uni, and looks sharp in a Twins uniform, does he not?
Absolutely does, yep.
So we look forward to Alaric joining us at 4:35. John McClain, from time to time, actually has to work for a living, and so he's doing that this afternoon. John will join us this week. He is penciled in to, well, actually, we've used pen because he said that works, Friday at 4:05. So no John McClain, Houston Chronicle, today at 5:05, but he will be Friday at 4 o'clock. So today, Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello will talk with him for the first time We talked with him after the draft was concluded. This will be the first time that we'll have the chance to catch up with Tennessee's baseball coach after a couple of players signed via free agency, one with the Mets and Chase Wallace, of course, going with the Royals. So be interesting to catch up with Coach and just see a little bit further down the road. You've got some guys that are back in town and or on campus just to get a feel for how things are going. But Tony Vitello will join us at 5:05. And Vince, Tennessee football opens this year against Charlotte, and we will talk with their head coach at 5:35.
That's right. Well, Healy will join us, and well, as you guys and we're starting to look around to the opponents for Tennessee. You guys talked to Barry Trammell about Oklahoma, and we'll continue to work our way around that Tennessee schedule in the summer and obviously dive back into it as we get closer to the season. But good to get these initial info sessions and learn a little bit about the 49ers with Charlotte's head coach, Will Healy.
So we look forward to catching up with him. And also today, it was Jeremy Pruitt appearing on the Dan Patrick Show, and we will have comments from his appearance with one of the all-time best, I think, when it comes to just having a conversation. Have always enjoyed Dan Patrick, and so we will bring you those remarks before the end of today's program. So we have a lot coming your way. Why don't we go ahead and jump into some news and notes, and they're brought to you by Image Matters, technology you need, Vince, people you can trust.
You can, and you will get great work done there and super prices. And obviously, you can trust them with your projects, no matter how big or how small, office, personal, whatever the case may be. We'll certainly use them many times before and will continue to do so. So trust them with your projects. They'll get you taken care of at Image Matters.
And as we talked about with Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps yesterday, and we will say happy birthday to Jesse Smithy as he celebrates today, although TSSAA making him work. Golf, volleyball, and cross country, they are allowed, even despite the extended emergency order by Governor Lee, they are allowed to proceed by normal TSSAA sports calendar as they are not under the mandate of the governor, since they're non-contact sports. So today, there were four options that were proposed to the Board of Control for football, and there was another consideration for girls' soccer. So why don't we quickly run through those. Option A would be football contact practice begins August 30th. We'll go for 3 weeks. The football season would start September 18th, would be a 7-game regular season. The playoffs would start on time, which would be Friday, November 6th. The TSSAA would set the region schedules for every school, and football teams would have to scrap their current schedules. Teams that didn't make the playoffs in Option A would get the opportunity to play two extra games. Football Option B, contact practice begins August 30th. The season would start September 18th. There would be an 8-game regular season. The first round of the playoffs would be eliminated, and there would be a 16-team bracket. Only region champions and region runners-up would qualify for the playoffs. TSSAA would set region schedules for every school. Teams that don't qualify, like the first option, could schedule up to two additional games. Option C for football. Contact practice, again, begins August 30th. First contest, September 18th. That's been identical. First 2 weeks of the playoffs would be cut off. That would give teams a 9-game regular season. Only region champions would qualify for the playoffs, which would start in the quarterfinal round. Schools would keep their current schedules for this season. Teams that don't qualify for the playoffs could schedule one additional game. And then option D, there would be no championships in the 2020 season, only a handful of games. Teams could schedule up to an additional 5 games to finish out their schedules, and that's it. According to this story, which is, again, 5starpreps.com, and this is a free read, Bernard Childress said not much support's been given to that option, but they did want to present it. And so I think we can all understand why that one would not draw a whole lot of support. Vince, is there one of the scenarios that stands out to you that you think would be the best way to proceed?
Well, not option C, because you're really limiting the teams that make the playoffs. You're drastically eliminating the teams that make the playoffs, yet you're only sacrificing one regular season game. So that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. If you are trying, if you have a limited amount of time to get those in, why you would eliminate more postseason and less regular season, I would be in least favor of. Among the top three, D seems like to me, if they really get down to a worst case scenario, that would be it. But for right now, it'd be one of the first three. For me, it would probably be A or B. You still get, if you with B, you would lose that first round of the playoffs. And Troy Provost-Heron pointed out that in first round games last year, 21% of the first round games were won by the lower seed. So that's a decent amount. We assume and we see a lot of blowouts, John, in the first round, as you well know. But then that also shows in some of those other matchups, the 2-3, especially that you do get some upsets at times. So that's 21%. That's a fair amount. However,
1-5.
Right. So now you're taking almost the any Cinderella stories out of the mix for the playoffs. So seven. The another drawback to the seven is that the TSSAA will handle all of that schedule. And I guess they would for option B as well. Who knows what you're going to get in the inconsistencies with that, but that might be hard to avoid. It would either be A or B. I'd have to give it a little bit more thought on which one, because A would give you seven games and nothing chopped off of the playoffs. But then are you going to get the right teams in the playoffs after just seven regular season games? So there's plenty of give and take. Eight games versus one playoff round eliminated. It would be one of those two. I'd have to give it a little bit more thought. Does one stand out to you, John?
Yeah, and I'm like you. I can certainly see the merits of option A. I think I lean towards option B simply for another game in the regular season, and I realize that it reduces a round to the playoffs, and we have seen time and time again through the years, you just know that, for instance, if it's a Region 3 versus Region 4 and, you know, different classifications or 1 versus 2, however you want to see how it matches up, where you know that one particular region is a powerhouse region and the other one is perhaps not the strongest when it comes to their collection of teams. So that's where I think you see a lot of those four knocking off a one or three knocking off a two. So I just think that I think I might lean towards the B just for the extra regular season game, even though it would be at the expense of the first round of the playoffs.
I think the ratio of losing one playoff round and two regular season games, that to me is much better than losing fewer regular season games and more playoff rounds. So that's why that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And then A, obviously, you lose three regular season games and no playoffs. But are you going, is seven games enough to really determine who the rightful teams get into the playoffs? And then are you going to have even more tiebreaker type of situations if we only have seven games to try to separate those teams, especially with the TSSAA making that schedule? And then, you know, then you're, to me, the first round would be even more of a crapshoot. So you know, I agree with you that maybe B would have a slight edge, but to me, none of the A or B, there's nothing really to get over the top hot about. It's not going to be fair for some, and there's going to be complaints regardless. There's no right way to do this. We'll see how much they listen to the schools and the coaches and the administrators on this. Hopefully they'll take a lot of those factors into consideration.
And let's see, the TSSAA Board of Control was supposed to discuss the classification cycle that is to start with the 2021-22 school year. They were supposed to do this last month. However, that got pushed, uh, the with the virus and everything, it pushed that meeting off the calendar. And so they are going to continue to table that discussion. And so there is that bit of news. And when it comes to girls soccer, let's see. They extend the season by a couple of weeks. The normal starting date is August 17th, but it wouldn't start until September, extending it a couple of weeks from its normal conclusion of late October. Bernard Childress said this would still allow for a full postseason and state championship week. However, one board member said that the extension could conflict with the start of club soccer seasons. So they will, and I like the fact that, one, they talked about it, and then they made a point not to vote on it today. They first of all want to have more conversation with Governor Lee, and then there's also another aspect of what the TSSAA is hoping for that could also have an impact on exactly how things proceed from this point. And I do think that it is it's wise for them to ask for this consideration, and that is they want to be considered in the same classification and be viewed as having the same standing as state colleges and professional teams within the state of Tennessee in when it comes to allowing contact and to proceed with their respective schedules on time. I don't deny for a second that there is a lot more when it comes to the TSSAA and the number of athletes, especially younger athletes involved, but I also think that that would be most fair, that they be looked at, Vince, in terms of that kind of organized competition. I think that's a fair request by the TSSAA to be considered with state colleges, universities, as well as pro teams.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, something else, John, I wonder if these four options for football means that, remember yesterday Jesse was talking with us about the options were a shortened season, moving it to spring, or the Virginia plan, which would be, you know, sort of overlapping between the two. Does this mean that they've decided to move forward on the shortened season, therefore that's why they're laying out these options still? Or how do you view that if they've settled in on that shortened season of some form?
Say that again. You broke up just a little bit in terms of what I heard you say.
Yeah, sorry about that. No, I was just saying yesterday, remember, Jesse was talking about, hey, the things on the table are a shortened season, a hybrid that'll carry over maybe starting in December and continue on to June, or moving football to spring. Does the fact that we've got these options here for a shortened season mean that they've decided on that, or is that still to be determined?
I do believe that this is, since all the options that were presented today would be fall options, then I think that they have moved past the consideration of flip-flopping spring and fall sports. And okay. I know for some they think because you have some sports that are outdoors that that would be an easier way to proceed, or indoors for that matter. I just think that Jesse made such a good point that, okay, if you flip-flop the schedules and you wind up with the emergency order being extended again, then you have to tell the seniors, or excuse me, you have to tell again athletes who just had their spring seasons canceled that their spring seasons that had been moved up to the fall have also been canceled. So I just think that I do believe that that is not part of the consideration, and I think that is a wise way to proceed. There's so much to talk about. Let's see. There was one other thing I wanted to mention before we took a break, but I can't come up with that anywhere right now. Oh, we can tell you that the soccer tournament that was going to take place in Gatlinburg starting next week and then concluding, well, and then also July 9th through the 11th, July 13th through the 15th in Gatlinburg, with the order by the governor earlier this week, they have decided to cancel that. So it's a shame. They were hoping to allow the senior players to get out there and have one more go-round, and so unfortunately, Vince, they are not going to go ahead and proceed with what was going to be that soccer tourney in Gatlinburg.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but you totally understand it under the circumstances.
So what we will do is get a break. Again, we've got a lot coming your way today. That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. This is Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
Looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately.
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
This is Sports Radio WNML.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. And again, we've got plenty coming your way. And Vince, one of the things that came out today of a conversation questions that were being fired at Michael Drake of Ohio State. He says that the NCAA will indeed issue universal guidelines to dealing with the coronavirus to all participating schools, which would lead you to believe that means all levels. That is something that has been sorely lacking. And also, you haven't really heard much of anything in terms of the NCAA in that regard. I guess while there are still many unknowns exactly in regards to the best way to proceed, I don't think there's any question that that's something that I think a lot of people are waiting on.
I agree, and I think a great example of that is when Houston was starting to bring people on campus without doing actual COVID-19 testing, and they were looking for symptoms first. And if you're trying to keep your team and your staff and your building safe, and then moving forward, I don't think you can have schools just doing whatever they want, and some saying, well, we don't have the money to COVID-19 test everybody, but we're coming to town, see you guys there when we're making contact with you on the field. I think you have to have some kind of national standard, and to me, that's what should be the start of it, the centerpiece of it, is that mandatory COVID-19 testing. And guess what? With the money the NCAA has, if they need to help schools through this period to eliminate any excuses of we don't have the budget to test our student athletes, then the NCAA needs to suck it up. I know they've lost money. They didn't have the NCAA basketball tournament. I get it. But this is your time to show some leadership that is desperately needed in this challenging time. And you need to remove those excuses to keep everybody safe and to make sure that these schools don't end up having a bunch of testing, a bunch of positive tests, and then they have to cancel games, and then it just wreaks havoc and a domino effect. And on top of all the safety elements that are there too, mandatory COVID-19 testing, not only before they come on campus, but regularly afterwards. And the NCAA needs to make that a big part of it, and then help the schools that need the help as well. And honestly, John, it would, to me, if some of these really heavy generating schools, I would not have a problem, and I think it would be great if some of the schools that make massive revenues stepped up and say, all right, we're going to help this conference. You guys, you can pay us back down the road with games or whatever, discounts on you know, non-conference games, whatever the case may be, or just out of good faith, and help some of those other smaller schools and conferences that maybe have more difficult time getting their hands on those testing. Maybe this is an opportunity for them to help out to keep the entire sport safe from a big picture standpoint. There's a lot of other factors involved, I know, in getting the testing, but I'd just like to see the NCAA and others step forward so we can have the highest safety possible for all these student athletes, and we're not leaving a bunch of schools and conferences behind.
Yeah, I think that that has been lacking, and we'll see exactly if and when. Well, not if, but when that plan, or I should say those guidelines, are shared. This actually was part of a conversation that came out of the Senate committee hearing on NCAA name, image, and likeness issues, and the exchange was between Senator Jackie Rosen and Ohio State's Michael Drake, who is the chair of the NCAA Board of Governors, David Cobb of CBSSports.com, sharing that nugget today. We can also tell you, among the comments from Jeremy Pruitt today with Dan Patrick, is that after Tennessee breaks for the voluntary workouts, folks are going to have the chance to go home for the 4th of July. When they come back, there'll be another round of testing. Through the first round of testing, as football players returned, only one graduate assistant tested positive. But we'll get a break. When we return, Barry Rice joins us next to a VFL Films to talk about the Johnny Majors documentary that airs this Friday. That's next on Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams, and we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline to be joined by a very special guest, a longtime friend in Barry Rice, part of the outstanding operation that is VFL Films. And if you haven't heard, there is going to be a celebration of Johnny Majors this Friday on ESPNU at 6 o'clock. It will be Tennessee, Virginia in the Sugar Bowl. At 8 o'clock, it will be Straight Ahead, or I should say Johnny Majors Straight Ahead, the documentary that we're about to talk to Barry about. And then after that, it'll be the Sugar Bowl victory for Pitt in the national championship victory for the Panthers over Georgia before John Majors returned to the University of Tennessee. But Barry, always appreciate you. How are you doing these days?
Doing great. How about you guys?
Big thumbs up. Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, so, well, thanks for having me.
Well, very much appreciate it, and I can't wait to see it because you guys just do excellent work, one project to the next. But what was it like, and how did this come about?
Well, two big questions there. How did it come about? I'll tell you, it was pretty instantaneous. We found out Coach Majors passed on June 3rd, and I got that evening a Zoom meeting invite from Coach Fulmer, and in the morning, so the next morning on the 4th, I tuned in, and it was loaded with players and coaches and people that loved him. And the point of it was Coach Fulmer, you know, was saying, what can we do to honor this guy? Because the quick answer was, well, we all remember what we did when John Ward passed 2 years ago. Let's do that. And that would have been great if there wasn't a coronavirus lurking. So it, in a little bit of a way, it felt like it kind of, you know, cut us off at the pass. Like, oh, no, well, you know, what can we do? And that was the question. It was about an hour-long call. And finally we said, well, we can try to call ESPN and try to do a documentary, you know, see what happens. So that was how it got started. And things were up in the air, but there was not time to really sit and wonder, you know, would we end up on ESPN or how would it be? There were too many questions. So all we could do is just get to work, which we did. And I tell you, it was it's amazing when I say that it was less than a month ago that Zoom call happened, and we're sitting here with an hour-long documentary for ESPN inside of a month. It was amazing. It was great teamwork by everyone, from the people on that Zoom call to the Vol Network to VFL Films. It definitely took all hands on deck.
Barry, talk about the content selection process, because I imagine that the cutting room floor would be awfully entertaining as well.
Oh, it was a bloodbath. It was a bloodbath because as an editor, you fall in love with these moments, particularly when it's a tribute to someone you love. And again, we didn't know where we were going to air, how we were going to air. So, well, frankly, my first cut was 5 hours. And just because I'm weird, I loved it. But I knew nobody would sit through 5 hours. I got it down to about a 2-hour cut and really felt like this is the cut. This is what I want the world to see. The show's Coach Major's personality, it, you know, really shows the man I knew. Well, through no fault of their own, it's just the way things happened. ESPN could only accept an hour. So the floor just, you know, the edit room floor just got to be a disaster area. In about a day, I took my 2 hour and made it into one, and I was shedding some tears there because I just thought, oh, you can't cut this. You can't possibly cut this. And then we cut it. And, you know, and I feel bad, and I don't know if any of them are out there listening, but we had several former players come in, give us their time, tell us their favorite stories. And my 2-hour version had a lot of that. But frankly, a lot of the stories and things like that got cut away in the process of making a documentary that not only told the story of Johnny Majors, but the idea was, let's tell the story as told by Johnny Majors. So there just wasn't as much space for personal recollections and things like that. But But fear not, we are thinking about a way to maybe release an uncut version down the road and people can then see what we saw.
What was ESPN like to work with to put this together?
Well, you know, and maybe it's because of the time frame. But I have a little bit of knowledge through friends and acquaintances and some personal experience of what it's like to work with any network on an hour-long documentary. If they're turning over their airtime to you, they are strictly regulating it and really taking ownership of the project. They took ownership of this, but they understood that to do this in two and a half weeks, they needed to get out of the way and let us do what we had to do. And they did. They did. Rarely, let me restate that, never have I just sent a first cut of a documentary to a network and said, here it is, let's run it. But that's where we are. And it's not as if it's, you know, cut any corners. I'm very, very proud of this. And like I said, very, very proud of all the people that helped to make it happen. But there, you know, ESPN said, thank you, congratulations, we'll see you on Friday. That's unheard of.
Well, it one, as you just talked about, with just the turnaround from the Zoom call itself, where the notion was discussed to the finished product airing on a national network, international for that matter, this Friday, that is an amazing turnaround. One of the things that stood out to me, Barry, and as you talked about, not only is this somebody that meant so much to the University of Tennessee, Tennessee football, but it's also somebody you just simply loved if you happen to be fortunate enough to know Coach Majors. But one of the things that stood out on when the news came and the day that he had passed, there were so many people that couldn't wait to share stories, favorite stories. But there was also, it was a day that wasn't about grief. It was about laughter, and it was about smiling. And it was, I think yep. It was just, it would be exactly what Coach Majors would have preferred the reaction to be. And I'm just wondering, when you get to use so many of his phrases, words, quotes, what is it like to be a part of a project like this where, again, so celebrated and just simply so appreciated?
Well, you're so right. And I have to share one personal story. On the day we found out, on the 3rd of June, my wife, Susan, happened to be out of town. And so when she heard, she texted, and she was very concerned about me personally. Kept checking on me throughout the day. She didn't get back till late at night. Well, in those intervening hours, I spent on my edit system looking at all these clips, reliving all these moments. Well, by the time she gets home, she comes down to my office expecting me to be sobbing in the floor in total grief. And instead, I'm pretty much having a party. I'm laughing. I'm chuckling. It's like she walks in and realizes he's having a great day. What has happened? You know, but that was just the nature of Coach Majors. You're in his presence. You were having a really great day. Well, unless you were a player and had messed up a drill, but you know, let's talk about the later in life Majors that you were having a great day. And I had so many great days with him, and just reliving them through this documentary is just it's been really something special.
So many of his stories have been told through the years. How many stories were you privy to, or you got to hear for the first time while you were doing this?
Oh wow, yeah. Now, listen, I've known Coach Majors, and I'd say for, you know, 30 years personally, and, you know, several years just by reputation before that. I was pretty certain I had heard every story that could be heard, and I was wrong. More stories came along, and you just realized this guy was just somehow some kind of superhero of, you know, great stories to share and tell. And I get, you know, I got the impression in talking to everybody, everybody has several of the stories that everybody knows. And then everybody has one story only they know. And, you know, I think that's why everybody felt so close to him. You know, you think, oh, he's my special friend. And then you realize everybody thinks he's my special friend. You know, he just has that way about him. So,
Barry,
yeah, I'll just I'll go ahead.
I'm sorry, Barry.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Barry. In putting this together, Barry, in like the time that John mentioned, how quickly you're able to turn it around. I know you understand the talent and the resources that are there with VFL Films. I don't think people know just how special of a group the work and the quality the VFL Films puts together. Brag on them a little bit and how you're able to be a part of something that is, I think, setting the standard in video and production and film around all of college sports.
Oh, I couldn't be more proud. I mean, these guys, people give me a lot of credit, but I'm telling you, Link Hudson's running the show over there now, and what he's done is taken this kernel of an idea that we had back in the day with about, three or four guys, and he's put it into this, really impressive, larger group, putting out more fires on a daily basis. It really is impressive what gets done every day that some people never see because it's specific to a sport or it's specific, in recruiting, and really nobody else sees it, or, on the SEC network, it's just so much stuff is generated, so much content every day. And look, I know every guy in my position at every school is going to say I have the best shop in the country. Well, they're lying, but I am telling you the truth. There's nobody that displays as much skill and talent and just knowledge of the industry. And here's the winning ingredient, passion for what they do. And that's VFL Films.
Well, not only do you have the work that obviously stands on its own with one great project done after another, but also what has it been like to see an incredible podcast come along, a host of volunteers?
Well, here's what's weird. It's an audio format, of course. I'm a video guy, so my resume says. And yet, this is the most fun I have had in my career. This is a project that I'm just eating up every day that I get to work on it. And I do have to put it away occasionally. Obviously, in the last month, I have to put it away. But we're working on season two coming up. And it's just such a pleasure. There are certain stories that I've heard parts of or sort of or allegedly this happened. And this is my opportunity to go track down the suspects and ask them personally, is this true? Did this really happen? And what were your experiences while you were playing at Tennessee? And you get surprising answers, you get confirmation in some cases, you get all the news stories in lots of cases. And I just love the fact that we're able to marry the stories that these people have wanted to tell, frankly. And I get to merge those stories and those interviews with this archive of John Ward and Bill Anderson audio that for the most part has been on a shelf for years and years and years, not to be heard by anybody. Well, now everybody gets to hear them. And I tell you what, I am a blessed man just to be able to do that and say that that's my job. Crazy.
Our guest is Barry Rice of VFL Films. And again, coming up this Friday, starting at 6 o'clock with Tennessee and Virginia in the Sugar Bowl, it'll be from 6 until 8 o'clock on ESPNU, and then it'll be straight ahead, or Johnny Major, straight ahead, the documentary that airs from 8 until 9, and then after that, the 77 Sugar Bowl, where Pitt beat Georgia as Coach Majors led the Panthers to the national title at that point in time. And when you have put this project together and you brought everything together, what was it like? Is there much footage from Johnny's playing days?
There is. And let me brag on Ernie Robertson, but this was even before Ernie's time. Tennessee has one of the most astounding archives in America. I think Alabama is probably comparable. USC is probably comparable. I think maybe Notre Dame. But, We go all the way back to 1926 with our film archive. That's not counting photographs, of course.
Wow.
And our audio has bits of audio from 46. So it's an impressive archive. And there was footage of Coach Majors as a player. Now, the way I could quibble is there was no low-angle footage, and that drives me crazy. But beggars can't be choosers. Back then, they pretty much covered it for the coaches. So what we have to look at is what we call coaches' film from back then. And there's pretty much every game he played in, and even an orange and white game or a spring scrimmage as well. So there's plenty of footage of him. But as we talked about before in the cutting, you know, in the two-hour version, you know, we don't even get to him being the coach of Tennessee until hour two, you know. Mm-hmm. In the one-hour version, we pretty much got through his playing career pretty quick and jumped on into his graduate coach and assistant coaching pretty quick in the first segment. So there's not a lot of it, but I think what we do show is pretty awesome, frankly.
Well, can't wait to see it. And, again, it's coming up this Friday. The documentary will air at 8 o'clock on ESPNU. And if you don't catch it Friday, then know that it will air at noon Eastern Sunday on Channel 8. But, Barry, thank you so much for telling us what it was like to put this together. And we'll sit here and wait patiently for the hopes that we'll get to see the uncut version, the five-hour Barry Rice edition. Before all is said and done. But thank you so much for joining us. Can't wait to see it.
All right, guys. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. And, Vince, if you haven't had the opportunity to just cross paths with Barry Rice or Link Hudson, two of the nicest guys, just period, that you could ever hope to find on the planet. And we get to see their amazing work, one project to the next, representing the University of Tennessee. They are such incredible pieces to have as part of the athletics puzzle for Tennessee.
You're absolutely right. Wonderful people, wonderful at what they do as well. That's a pretty nice and valuable combination. They are the best in the business.
We appreciate Barry joining us. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment of this first hour of Sports Talk as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Turn us up and embarrass the Alabama fan that sits in the next cubicle. This is 99.1 The Sports Animal.
We essentially come back to say so long for this first hour of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara. And Vince, we get to catch up with one of the best when it comes to covering recruiting.
That's right, Craig Hubbard from ESPN. He's the national coordinator of recruiting for football, and we'll get a national viewpoint of Tennessee in this terrific 2021 class that's shaping, and future targets, and a lot more from Craig Hubbard from ESPN coming up.
That's right. That starts hour number two of Sports Talk. Stay with us on 99.1, The Sports Animal.